I'm an alcoholic. Wow. Young people, I'm glad staying here because now I know I ain't the oldest person in the room. You know, I when I walked in, it was like, whoa, what y'all done brought me into up in here? I see people walking around with their weenies out and dudes in dresses. I'm like, hold up. Now, wait a minute. You know, good to see you guys having fun in recovery, you know, because we are not a glum lot. We are not a glum lot. Again, I'm Dargan. I'm an alcoholic. And I've done alcohol in a lot of different forms, if you understand what I'm saying. So my share of B, if you listen closely, you hear how I've done alcohol in a lot of different forms. I'm from Chattanooga, Tennessee. My sobriety date is August 4 of 2000. I came into these rooms beat up from the feet up. There was nothing left. Nothing. No family, no friends, you know. At least that's what I thought. At least that's what I thought, because that's where I was at. You know, I heard a guy, guy caught my attention around here. I heard him talking about being so low that he could play handball with the curb. You know, and when he said that, I felt it in my seat. It just soaked all into me, you know. And when I heard him say that and he started talking about the things that he'd do, you know, it kind of helped me to hang around and sit tight for a minute to see exactly what you guys are talking about when you say don't leave before the miracle happens. You know, it was a miracle for me to make it up into this place. You know, I'm gonna real quick get into this and I'm gonna talk a little bit about it. My last run, I had my family owned a restaurant here in Vegas, Big Mama's Restaurant. I don't know if any of you guys remember it, but I used to close the restaurant, you know, and I would go on these little 30 days of staying sober, you know, and I've tried near beer and all of the other things, you know, the marijuana maintenances and all of the other things that go along. And one night I was closing the restaurant and I had been clink sober for, you know, a little while. Listen to me, shit. I'm finished. I'm about to start lying to y'all. I had been sober for probably about 8-9 days. and I had been drinking that near beer all day. So at the end of the night, I was closing up the restaurant and I decided I would call my friend and get me some alcohol and that I could smoke, you know? And the bright idea told me that if I just did that, you know, if I got one of those and went home, I wouldn't have to drink myself to sleep all night. I could go home and fall out. And I ain't never went to sleep when I smoked that shit. You know, matter of fact, now that I look back at it, every time I smoke that shit, I just continue to do it all night long until I can't get no more, you know, and then I'm willing to go to any length to get it. I'll do whatever it takes. But anyway, this particular night, I closed the restaurant and my friend came by and he brought me an extra size. You know, it was a little bigger than usual, you know, and I said, well, you know what? I roll this in a cigarette, and that way I won't run back and forth all night. I did that. I rolled it up in a cigarette. So now I felt like I need to go down to over in Northtown for a little while and hang out with my friends for a minute. And so what I did is I had a key to the restaurant, but I didn't have a key to the office. So what I did is I took the money bag and I locked it up in the office. Usually I take it with me or put it under the register. I knew I wasn't going home, so, and it was already bad for me because home was my daddy's house, you know, when he would let me lay around there. So what I did is I took and locked it up in the office because something, I knew I was going to be going at it. I put it in there so I couldn't get to it. All night long, back and forth, all night long, back and forth. I ran and broke in that office. I ran back and forth, breaking in that office, till I had, you walk in and there was a pile sawdust where I had been taking the knife and chipping away to get in back into that office to get me another $20 up out of there. And then finally, I took the bag because now what I felt like I had to do, I need to go gamble a little bit so I can come up and get this money back. But I didn't make it to the casino. I took the TV out. I hocked it. Tell you how brilliant I am too when I'm drinking. Tell you how brilliant I am when I'm using. I took the TV out. I punned it and gave him my daddy's phone number. So when he reported it stolen, and then I used my own ID instead of getting Jonathan to hock it for me. I went and did it with my own ID. So I didn't know what happened to the TV. That's what I told my dad. I don't know what happened to the TV. But guys, I'm going to tell you something. I was there when he reported it stolen. I was at my daddy's house when the pawn shop called and told him that they found that TV. And they told him who hocked it. I knew something was wrong because of the way he looked up at me. And when he looked up at me, seemed like something just dropped deep down and hit the bottom of my gut. Like, I can't explain the feeling, but it was like a brick just fell down in there and I was heavy, you know, and I'm standing there, and he just looked at me, and then he said, they found the TV. And the only thing that I could say was, oh, yeah? Where? You know where. You pawned it. I said, no, I didn't. I'm lying. Still lying. I never admitted to it. It bothered me, guys. Look, let me tell you, that's just one story. I'm not going to go into a lot of them because I know we only got a few minutes here. But that's just one story. But listen, let me tell you something. The things that I've done to people, the way that I hurt people, the way I took from my family, I didn't want to. I just didn't have no fucking choice, man. You know, this thing had taken over me completely to where I was just a puppet. A puppet to it. You know, do this, do that, do this, do that. And I can remember times when I would say, I'm not doing this today. I'm not doing this today. That's simply all it is to it. I'm done. And then a little voice would say, I'm hungry, feed me. Little voice deep down inside of me would just say, I'm hungry, feed me. And I'd go in there to try to get something to eat, and then that don't work because it come right back up, and there's something saying, I'm hungry, feed me. I know what I need. But I ain't going to do this today. And then finally, I'll sit there and I'll say, you know what? I'm not doing this, and I'm hanging on, and I'm not going to do this. And then finally, that little soft voice reach out and say, bitch, get up and go take care of me. And I'm jumping up, and I'm gone. See, this thing ain't no joke, man. This thing for me, this thing had took me to a point to where it didn't matter to me who it was, where it was, how it was. I'll do it to get mine. See, I'm that alcoholic that I have to really tell it like it is, guys, because, you know, young people, we do. I'm gonna be young tonight. We do a lot of things, man, other than alcohol. I've shot dope in my body everywhere from the neck down. I went from heroin to cocaine. But the one thing about all of the drugs that I did, the one thing that always stayed with me was alcohol. Every time drugs would let me down, every time crack cocaine had me running where I can't run no more and I'm too tired to steal, alcohol would say, see, I told you. I got your back. Come on with me. Every time I'd run up into one of these places to try to get sober, alcohol would tell me, see, I told you to leave that other shit alone. Now just hang out with me. See, I went to a program. When I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, man, I found myself in another program. I found some people in another program that was talking about what I talked about, and I was talking like I talk, right? When I went through the work, they sent me right back to the alcoholic. They took me right back to the alcoholic. See, because I'm that type of alcoholic. Once I take a drink, I'm 10 feet tall and bulletproof. I head down Blast Alley. I don't wake up going to get no dope. I wake up drinking. I go to bed drinking. When drugs put me let me down like they always do, alcohol would always say, come on, I got your back. Steady building me up, steady building me up. See, I'm that cat, man, that if you got it on the table back there and you told me, Dargan, you can have whatever you want on that table, but you got to get through these 90 pit bulls right here. They might kill you. He said, now look, there's a 99.9% chance that they gonna kill you, but there's that 0.1% chance you can get to that dope. I'm going in. See, that's how it had got for me. Nobody wanted to be bothered with me. Nobody wanted to talk to me. Because the conversation was gonna always turn out, can I? May I? Will you let me? I tried doing this thing over and over again, man. I tried doing this thing. I got a little time under my belt one time. I had damn near a year one time. I was young then. And I had damn near a year. And I was going to meetings. I was going back to the treatment center, taking meetings in it. Talking to people in recovery all the time, but that big book I would not touch. They gave us a big book. I don't know. I don't see it much no more. But back then in treatment centers, they give you a big book. When you go in, they give you a big book and a 12 and 12. That's what they used to do to us. So I had a collection of big book and 12 and 12s, which my mother read, but not I. Because I would always get that I did it. I'm okay. So now I'm damn near a year clean, chairing meetings. We started a big meeting in there in another fellowship. We had started a meeting. I was one of the guys that helped start the meeting every night. I was raising my hand and sharing some profound shit. So I thought, and started a business. I had all the beauty shops in Chattanooga, man. And everything was beautiful. Nothing was wrong. And I went in the store to get me something to drink. And I didn't know what I was going to get. When I went in, I had an idea what I was going to get when I went in. But when I went in, I'm over here looking at the sodas and something over here was saying, psst, Dargan. Psst, Dargan. And I looked and I walked down through there and it seemed like it was just sitting there by itself. One Budweiser sweating. I said, damn, that thing look cold. I drunk that thing and went home and laid down next to my wife and not a word was said. I said, oh, shit, I got this. Now I know how to do this. I figured it out. I don't have to go through all that shit no more, so I ain't going to do them meetings no more. The next night I stopped in there, I got a little bigger one, you know. Didn't make it home for 2 weeks. Everything that I had built up was gone when I showed back up at the house. I got home. My nephew used to like to come over and stay with me on the weekends, right? I got home, he was sitting on the couch. I came home on the weekend, he was sitting on the couch right here. My door opens like this and the couch is right there. And he's sitting on the couch right here. It was a chair right here behind the door. So when I opened the door, he said, Uncle D, I'm going with you. I said, I ain't going no damn well, I'm through. I closed the door and I looked over there and my clothes were piled up in the chair. And he said, yeah, you going somewhere. I said, oh shit, here we go with that. One more time, I'm getting ready to get thrown out into the streets again. Now I had some, but now I'm about to tell y'all, when I got kicked out in the streets, I had a lot of people to blame. It wasn't my fault. If they hadn't, I wouldn't have. If they hadn't, I wouldn't have. So I carried that shit with me for a long time. Everybody turning me away, telling me they don't come to their house. I'm over at my mama's house one day. I had talked up on $10, and I went over there to get it. And we standing there talking, and while she was standing there talking, she wouldn't go get the money, man. And I'm waiting on, I'm trying to get this money so I can get up out of there. And we standing there talking, and I don't know if anybody in here ever did any crack cocaine, but you know how you pick your shit up off the floor, right? Yep. And I'm in her house and I ain't had nothing in her house. But I'm in her house and we stand there talking and I did this. She said, baby, you hungry? And I'm like, oh man, can I just, you know. So now she trying to fix me some food and I got to go, y'all. I got to go. That started a big resentment there because I wanted to tell her, give me the fucking money so I can go. And eventually I did say that and she didn't give me shit and sent me on up out of her house and told me don't come back. I thank God for Alcoholics Anonymous and the fellowship I crave. See, because had it not been for these 12 steps. See, the thing that I was doing is I was eliminating the drink, but this stayed the same. I needed to change. I needed to change. See, because with my behavior, some of you guys probably know what I'm talking about. With my behavior, the things that I done out there in the streets, I need a drink to do it. So my behavior had to change, see, because if I try to continue to hang out around here with my behavior, y'all will hate me and I'll be drunk. So I thank God for this 12-step process, man, and being able to admit I'm powerless. I never really wanted to surrender to the powerless thing, and you know, because I've always been that power in me. At least I thought I was the one that had to do all the creations. I needed to create everything in my life. Man, it was the day that I found out that my creation in my life is what has got me in the shit I was in. And I was willing to admit that these things, these problems that was going on in my life right now, it wasn't drugs and alcohol, it was my goddamn fault. Drugs and alcohol played a part in it because it changed me. But I the one put them in me. They don't get no bus pass. If I put it over there, I got to go get it. It don't jump up and run up. Anybody ever been at home and a bottle of vodka just walked up to your door and knocked and you opened the door looking around it?
Oh, shit.
See, I had to find out what was going on with me, man. And when I come up here, you people told me that I suffer from a physical allergy. When I put one in my body, I cannot stop. You told me about that. So now that you told me about this, you know, the physical allergy, if I don't put none in, I'm going to be okay, right? No. They say no. I say, well, what the hell now? They talked about the mental obsession. They say the one thing about it, the big book talks about the obsession to win. I like that. I like that better than the obsession to drink. The reason I like the obsession to win better is because I like to consider myself competitive. I'm going to beat this shit. And I continue to try to beat this shit. I continue to try to beat this shit. I continue to try to beat this shit. Till as the 12 and 12 talks about, all scorecards read zero. And I couldn't get a basket at all. I got 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Say, I like it like that. Yeah, just go, all right. You guys told me that I needed to believe in something other than myself, man. You know, I really had to come to believe that there was a power greater than me. Look, I'm going to tell you, when I first hit Vegas, this is how tough I am, how powerful I am. When I first hit Vegas, they told me, they say, you see that big building down there with the point on it, talking about the stratosphere, right? I looked, I said, yeah, what is that? They said, that's the stratosphere. That's North Town. Don't go down there. I couldn't wait to get down in that piece, man. I knew it had to be somebody down there just like me that can show me exactly where to go. And I went straight down there and robbed somebody. Because I had to have mine. Thought when I got out here, I'd be able to stay away from that thing. But when I got out here, they had Budweiser. And that's easy to come across. And I got a few of those in me. And I remembered the Stratosphere. And I shot down through there. And I picked up exactly what I needed. And once I did, it was on. Wasn't no stopping. So I had to take a look back over my life, man. And I had to see how this thing had affected me, man. And I had to make sure. See, I didn't want to just be sitting up in here with y'all squares because y'all say I need to. I had to take a look at my life. I had to get into this thing and see if this is the real truth about me. When I put one in, what happens to me? I end up in all kind of places when I put one in. I do all kind of things to all kind of people when I put one in. Nobody likes me when I put one in. I had to think about this mental obsession thing, man. This thing that I got going on with me that makes me go get it. I try to blame it on everybody else, you know, whenever we and you got out getting high, man, you know, it's your fault. Man, if he hadn't come through, I wouldn't even today. Play all them little games with myself, man. You know the reason I spent so much money last night? Because Stan kept tripping, peeping out the windows and shit. I ain't getting high with him no more. We done. I'm done with that. See, I played all these games. I done told myself all these lies. Now I got to sit down and look at the real truth. I jump up in the middle of the night with it on my mind how I can do it successfully. Anybody in here ever made plans on how they gonna do it this time? I had a partner I used to run with. I ain't gonna lie, man. I'm gonna go ahead and tell the truth. Me and my daddy used to run together. And we would make a plan. We would make a plan. Junior, this time we're gonna get the girls first. Then we're gonna get the stuff. Then we're gonna do what we need to do. Then we're gonna go home. Fucking plan never worked. The next plan, we're going to get the girls first. That worked out pretty good. This time, we're going to do something with them first. Then we'll get the... Try that shit over and over and over again. And I had to look at the times when I'd end up standing in the middle of a... I had to look at the times when I'd end up in places doing things that I didn't want to do when nobody else had went with me and realize that, damn, it's me taking me. They talked about that spiritual malady. See, I had a deep and effective spiritual experience with drugs and alcohol. It changed me completely. I wasn't raised like this. My mother's not an addict. My mother take a beer or two. She buy a six pack when she come and visit me on my birthday every year. And she'll come and visit me and she'll buy a six pack and stay for 2 weeks and only one gone out the damn six pack. I got to throw it away when she leave. Not me. That doesn't work for me. If I drink one of them, I'm drinking all of them and some more. My father's not an addict. We ran together and did all these things, but he could stop and go take care of whatever he needs to take care of. He stopped. He don't even do it. No, he don't touch it no more. He stopped. Every time I wanted to stop, there's a reading out here sometimes that talks about after 30 days. It wouldn't take me that long. The next day, The next day, every day was a day when I had to have mine. As I moved through the work, man, I had to do an inventory. I'm gonna skip on in. I had to do an inventory of myself. And I had to, first it was fun, because I was putting down people I had resentments with. Yeah, so-and-so, this, they broke me into it smoothly because somebody must have told them that if you put too much of that on him right away, he gonna say, the hell with that, ain't none of that my fault. So they broke me into it smoothly, and I have got the chance to write down the people I was mad at, and then a little while later, I got to write down why I was mad at their ass. Then I got to write down how it affected me. And after I got it wrote down on how it affected me, they say, now this is what's happening right here. We're going to take this one out. We're going to take him out. This is what you hanging on to. This is what is causing by you hanging on to this. I'm like, wait a minute. Me hanging on to anger is causing me grief and pain. Oh, y'all didn't hear me, did you? Me hanging on to anger is causing me problems. So now check this out. We hear about justifiable anger, right? My book tells me that anger is a luxury that I cannot afford. See, it takes me to places that I don't want to go. Now, look here, I'm going to tell you today, it don't take me to where my mind started to think drink. It starts to think other things, like cheat on your wife. Write a bad check. Run the credit card up. See, my life today is about, you know, we talk about, I'm skipping through, guys, and I'm sure you guys understand that. But see, my life today is about, man, we talk about the 11th step, the 10th and 11th step, man. We talk about taking a personal inventory, continuing every day to take that personal inventory. We talk about that prayer and meditation. We talk about that keeping in contact with God. So through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact. See, what happens for me today, guys, is that I have to continue to stay connected, man, because I need to find out these things that give me permission to do stupid shit, not just drink. See, because I make some decisions based on self that have me all tore up down in here, and I'm feeling uncomfortable and in pain. See, I've also learned, too, around here is that when I do the right things, nobody can bother my peace. Regardless of what you say to me, how you say it, I'm the one that gets this taken away. And what happens is I separate myself from the peace giver. I can't create this shit within me. I have to stay connected so that the peace can flow through me. One of the readings say, make me a channel of thy love. And see, that's what happens is that I want to be that channel to where it can flow through me. In and out. Because see, if I allow it to flow through, guess who gets some? Every day is a day when I must carry the vision of God's will in all my activities. It's what I'm doing, pleasing God. Look, guys, check this out. Each day, as we stay sober, as we recover, each day brings a good day for me. Because, see, if I don't pick up, it's way better than what it used to be. But, see, it gets a little more intense than that. When I look at my night, when I look at my day-to-day, tonight when I go home and I look at my day-to-day, I'm going to always ask myself, what can I do better tomorrow? I need to know, what can I do better tomorrow? Help me see my shortcomings. What did I fall short today? See, because there's no guarantee, man. This thing, look here, I'm going to tell you something. I know people that's done got 20 and 30 years and went back and drank again. Because they got too worried about your shit and not worried about this shit. See, See, I go, I hear a lot, you know, about how we always worried about what people think of us and all of that. You know, my problem is not what you think of me. My problem is what I think you think of me. See, I can keep myself wrapped up and twisted up in that for so long that it'll drive me nuts. That was it. That'll drive me nuts. But when I stay and stick to this process, see, I heard people talk about this, the spiritual part. No, it ain't all of it is. See, because when I do 10, 11, and 12, I repeat all of it every day. This helps me to become useful to other people. Instead of taking, I give today. They told me, give it away like it was given to you. They told me, one part of the book say, if sex is troublesome, throw yourself the heart into working with someone else. I don't just use it for that. When I'm into me too much, when things ain't happening right at the house, when things ain't right at the job, I throw myself into helping somebody else. Clean my house. See, those personal house cleanings that we do, a lot of us don't want to go as deep as going in and looking at the real truth about myself. See, when I do that mental inventory, when I take a look at my mind and I start to see the things that run through my mind on a daily basis, some of y'all probably think crazy as hell, huh? Might ask yourself sometime, when the hell did that come from? So I have to process these things through the 12 steps. What makes me think like that? I thank God for the gentlemen that were around, man. When I was down in at West Care Detox this time, I knew something had changed because the guys that came in was the same guys that came in the other 8 times. But they look different. They look like I wanted to feel. Because I was feeling real shitty inside, man, you know. But I'm the type of guy, man, about that big and tough. Don't want nobody to really say nothing to me, you know. But I'm, like I say, about that big, jaw sunk in. But this time what I did, man, is I got behind those guys, man, and I started ear hustling, man, and I started hearing where they was going to be at, where they was going, man. I ended up going to sober parties. And I was showing up and showing up, and one of the guys looked around, man, and he said, damn, man. He said, I'm so-and-so. Everywhere I go, I see you. And I said, I'm Dargan. I'm following you. He said, well, shit, stop following and join on in. That's all I knew how to do, man. That's all I knew how to do. And I thank God I ain't got to lead today. I ain't got to be the one to come up with all the bright ideas. I don't have to be the one to make all the decisions no more. I back off. I got a God that I can speak to and I talk to. They say, this is not a religious program. I said, thank you, because I tried church. When I went to church, me and the preacher sit down. I told him all my troubles. He prayed for me. We talked some more. He prayed some more. And then when we got done, he had already heard about how I had spent all the money. We didn't have no groceries at home for the kids. He had heard about all of that. So after we got done praying, he gave me money. And I skipped up out of that joint. Going to get some groceries. And I got my groceries. Thank God I don't have to live like that today. Anybody ever Anybody ever, you guys are young, but some of you might have a wife or a husband, or your parents might have sent you to a place like McDonald's with $5 and you show back up 2 weeks later. What kind of shit is that, man? And then come back 2 weeks later with no damn hamburger. See, those are the kind of things that I had to take a look at, man. I had to really look. I had to stop looking at everybody else, and I had to take a look at this guy right here. I had to look at that man in the mirror, man, and I had to really get honest with me. Oh, yeah, okay. Look here. I want to thank you guys for allowing me to come out, man. And it's good to see so many young people in the rooms of recovery. You know, you guys keep up the good work, man. This is a beautiful thing. Thanks for allowing me to share. Sorry about that.